Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I'm your host, Thais Gibson, and I create regular podcast episodes to teach you about your relationships, attachment style, and the subconscious mind. My goal of this podcast is to give you tools and awareness you need to thrive in your relationships, feel deeply connected, and find harmony and fulfillment in your relationships and personal life. So I hope you tune in here with me each and every week. I'm going to take you through some very common protest behaviors, which really means like coping mechanisms that you use when you're triggered or stressed while in relationships. And if you're in a current romantic relationship, you can sort of reflect on that. And if you're not, try to think of like past romantic relationships and if some of these coping mechanisms, aka protest behaviors, were common for you. And what you can do is sort of keep a mental tally to see how often you've done these things, or if you found yourself doing some of them, you know, how many of the five that we're going to go through show up frequently for you. And then we're going to talk about how these things are connected to unmet needs. And when you get those needs met, it can actually feel like you don't have to do these things as often or resort to these coping mechanisms or protest behaviors to get your needs met. It's very common for fearful avoidance to feel quite frequently in relationships like, should I stay or should I go? Or to feel like one day they're kind of anxious and they really want more closeness with their partner, and they're kind of anxious about that distance that might be happening. And another day you might find yourself feeling overwhelmed by a partner and really needing to push that partner away. Now, the big reason for this is that fearful avoidants tend to have these kind of competing needs when it comes to relationships. They want closeness, but they also want freedom. And it can feel kind of confusing at times, because sometimes when somebody's really close, it feels great. And other times when somebody's really close, it feels really overwhelming, depending on kind of the day, the mood, and also if you're triggered by something in particular. And that flip-flopping feeling also has to do with these competing ideas you have about relationships. On one hand, feeling like romantic relationships are an amazing thing, sometimes craving closeness, craving that kind of romantic connection, but other times feeling afraid of it a little bit if you pay close attention, feeling afraid or operating under the assumption at least that in the future something will go really wrong, or feeling like you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, or believing that you'll get bored and leave the relationship, or somebody else will get bored and leave a relationship, or even believing like you can't trust somebody and that people will end up betraying you. So these different kind of competing ideas you have about relationships being good, but also fearing that these things can happen, can cause you to not want to get too close to somebody. Because if you believe that getting close to somebody is going to happen and then they're just going to hurt you, then sometimes it can feel scary or unwanted, you know, to actually build that close connection. And so again, this all goes back to the reasons that you might flip-flop, like, should I stay or should I go? Or kind of like, hey, come close. And somebody gets close, you're like, no, step back, get away. You know, and I don't mean that literally. I mean, like in the context of on certain days wanting more closeness, other days really wanting to push somebody away. And it can feel confusing and draining for you. So that's really number one. Number two, you may find yourself also be in this pattern of overgiving in relationships, kind of like pouring into people, really trying to like make them happy and show up and be on your best behavior and kind of impress them and win them over. And then eventually feeling like, hey, that person's not pouring into the relationship as much back. And at that point, you might feel frustrated and get angry. And your protest behavior or coping mechanism may be to express anger, to sort of have these like more emotionally charged reactions to somebody. And sometimes you'll show them outwardly, and sometimes you'll just feel them inwardly and shut somebody out and stonewall. So again, this second protest behavior is really shutting somebody out and stonewalling, but at its root underneath it is often caused by you kind of overgiving or overdoing it in a relationship. And when somebody doesn't reciprocate properly, that's what causes you to feel that way and then have to cope that way. Number three, sometimes fearful avoidants will test somebody by like pushing somebody away to see if they really care. And, you know, you may push somebody away and what you really want them to do is kind of fight for you or show up or really reinforce or let them, you know, let you know that they really do care. And part of that at its core is because sometimes you feel afraid to actually trust and to really open up and let yourself be truly vulnerable and share what you need or share different insecurities that you have. And all those things are actually an important part of deep and lasting bonding in relationships. It's part of what securely attached people do, is let people in, share their flaws, share their insecurities, say, hey, you know, I need more connection sometimes, or, you know, I need you to also show up for me in this way sometimes. But often fearful avoidants feel scared to communicate those needs. So instead, they'll kind of test people indirectly, right? They'll see like, hey, if I do pull away, do you care? And it's this way of getting that need met for reassurance indirectly. Number four, sometimes you may see that you become harsh and critical with your words and then feel really guilty or ashamed about it after. And usually what happens is, again, you've got this like flip-flopping happening. You've got these kind of competing fears about relationships. And, you know, these fears competing with like love, like you want love and it scares you at the same time. And so that flip-flopping happens, you're pouring in, you can sometimes feel taken advantage of. And eventually it can lead you to just sort of hit this boiling point where if somebody's not reciprocating, if somebody doesn't understand your needs, if you're kind of scared about what's going on in the relationship, or if you feel hurt by something and somebody didn't realize that they hurt you, and it hit like an insecurity or something inside of you, sometimes you'll try to push it in, push it down, and then eventually it comes out in a different way. And again, that way tends to be harsh and critical with your words, right? Kind of like, you know, you can have a sharp tongue sometimes when you're hurt, and it actually reflects how much you're hurt more than anything else, but it's very valuable to pay attention to. So I have some really exciting news, and it's that integrated attachment theory training is back. In other words, you can be trained to become a relationship coach certified in integrated attachment theory in literally 60 days. So who's this for? Well, of course, this is for any individual who wants to make an impact and really be of service to others while also obtaining freedom and flexibility and abundance in their lives. And this is also for anybody who's already a counselor, a therapist, a coach, and just really wants to expand their toolkit. We've had so many people enter into the Integrated Attachment Theory program because they're just looking to obtain a certain degree of mastery in terms of understanding their own attachment patterns and also the attachment patterns of maybe their children or partner or other loved ones in their lives, so they can really support those people and understand them more deeply. Now, please keep in mind that the last two times we ran this program, we filled up very fast. In fact, we oversold the programs and sold up completely. So if you're interested, click the link below to learn more and dive in with me. And I'd love to see you on the other side before seats run out. Last but not least, you may find yourself testing people at times to see if you can trust them. You may, you know, double check on an old story you heard, or ask a friend about something that they did to see if it actually lined up, or, you know, double check things. You may find that you have a little bit of suspicion in relationships at times. Not so much as you're starting to date somebody, but once you're really starting to let somebody in and kind of let your guard down, that might be when you see yourself with this coping mechanism or protest behavior the most. So if, as I said, these five things, you found yourself kind of like nodding, like, oh my gosh, that's me. You really resonated with a couple of them on the list. I'm definitely not surprised. These are super textbook fearful avoidant behaviors. And so you might be curious, like, why is it that I act like this at times? And what I want you to know is that it's an innocence, right? It's your way of just trying to cope and do the best you can in a relationship. It's your way of trying to like get your needs met and feel safe and understand what's going on with a relationship without having to open and be too vulnerable and risk getting rejected or hurt. And so the big needs that these things are connected to are, number one, to actually feel safe and to feel like you can trust in a relationship. Deep down, if you pay attention, the testing, the flip-flopping, the pushing somebody away to see if they really care, all of these things actually relate back to not being sure if you can trust, not being sure if it's safe to let your guard down. So you're trying to test to see if it's safe, and your needs underneath that are a need for safety and trust. Another big thing that's important to you is you often want to see that there's transparency in a relationship, because you feel like if you can understand somebody completely, that they might be safer to be around. So you'll see that you're often seeking transparency. And another huge need that often is common for you is this need to feel like somebody really does care, like they will accept you even with flaws. They want to connect deeply to you. They see you. They care about you for you. They understand you and what you need. And that's not just going to go away, that's not something that's just going to fade out or, you know, end really quickly. And so sometimes a lot of these mechanisms, these coping mechanisms that you have, are just ways of trying to get these needs met in different forms. Like if I'm, you know, pushing somebody away, or if I'm being harsh with my words, it's because I'm hurt. I'm trying to be safe from that hurt. But I'm also hurt because I was hoping that somebody would show me that they truly care. I was hoping that somebody would pour into the relationship as much as I am, because fearful avoidance often pour into relationships a lot when they really care about somebody. They'll really give their heart and you know, the shirt off their back to somebody. So I want to just start with talking about this today. There's so much more you can learn. And, you know, if you pay close attention by understanding that these things are related to needs, you'll see how impactful it is to know your needs in relationships and to become able to communicate them in healthier ways, right? To be able to get those needs met in easier forms than through protest behavior. So I want to leave you with that for today. There's so much more to share and learn, but I hope that resonated with you.